the pandemic hits Americans with the least ability to defend themselves.
So it's really impacting the folks who are the most vulnerable, people who were working jobs that didn't have much savings.
How the coronavirus is tearing the social safety net. Plus, your questions on the pandemic, asked and answered. It's Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. U.S. coronavirus deaths now top 3,000. More states are issuing stay-at-home orders, temporary hospitals are springing up, and the military is taking new steps to help. A Navy ship with 1,000 hospital beds is in New York Harbor. The current mission is to treat patients not infected with coronavirus so that hospitals onshore can better focus on the pandemic. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the ship comes at a critical time.
This ship arriving is not just an example of help arriving in a physical form. It's not just about the beds and the doctors and the equipment. It's also about hope. It's also about boosting the morale of New Yorkers who are going through so much. It's about saying to our heroes in those hospitals that help has come, that relief is on the way.
The strain on hospitals is forcing tough choices. We're reporting that NYU Langone Health is telling ER doctors that they have sole discretion to place patients on ventilators. State guidelines recommend that a triage officer or committee decide who gets ventilators during a shortage. In an email to staff, the head of emergency medicine said that experts at the facility were creating guidelines on how to allocate ventilators, but, quote, "we do not have the luxury of time, data, or committees." The Treasury Department wants airlines to apply for some grants and loans by Friday. It's part of the $2 trillion stimulus package. And it's not just airlines. There's something in there for many Americans. We're giving tips on what to look out for in our personal finance podcast called Your Money Briefing. Tips on how to spend those stimulus checks, unemployment benefits if you need them, small business loans, student debt help. We've got everything you need to know to make sure you make the most of what's out there. Subscribe to Your Money Briefing on our podcast page or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up, what new data from China may tell us about getting the economy back on track. China is apparently starting to get back to work. Official data for March show a rebound in manufacturing from a record low in February as the country unwinds lockdowns put in place at the height of the pandemic. Our columnist Mike Bird explains from Hong Kong.
So the data we've just seen is China's Purchasing Managers Index, which is a sort of business survey conducted in many different countries around the world, and it's giving you a reading that is compared to a previous month, and it's based on the number of respondents coming back to you and saying that business activity is better or worse. If there's a majority saying that business is better, you're going to get a number above 50. If a majority is saying business is worse, you're going to get a number below 50. China's PMI reading was 52 for March, so above 50, but it's coming off an extremely weak month in February. 35.7 was the reading in February, the worst of the index ever. There are still a lot of problems in the recovery. There's a lot of small businesses that haven't yet opened. Even those that have are quite heavily restricted by much lower consumer spending. You're seeing people be a lot more reticent to get back in. The Chinese economy is also now hit by the additional problem that large parts of the rest of the world have shut down. So if you're a company that was relying on orders from Europe or the US, you may well have now filled the backlog of orders that you ran up during January and February when you were closed and realized that there's actually no one ordering anything anymore. So I think this tells us that we're seeing a shallow recovery, but the base is so low that it's nothing to get particularly excited about yet.
Right after this quick break, questions about whether America's social safety nets are strong enough for all the Americans who are struggling in the pandemic. The economic shutdown is pushing America's social services to their limits, threatening the people who rely on them and straining those who run them. The Journal's Doug Belkin spoke with our Charlie Turner about how they're facing the challenge.
Doug, describe for us the kind of safety nets that are under strain.
What we're seeing now are homeless shelters and food banks that seem to be feeling the brunt of this, and crisis hotlines. In all those categories, the numbers of people seeking help are spiking pretty significantly, at least on the left coast and beginning in New York.
So describe for us the kind of people that it's impacting.
So it's really impacting the folks who are the most vulnerable, people who were working jobs that didn't have much savings. A lot of folks in the restaurant industry have been hit by this. Folks who were already homeless are impacted. And I think the folks that are joining this crowd are the ones who have been recently laid off and just don't have any money in the bank to pay their next rent.
Well, how are cities handling this problem, as far as things like volunteers are concerned?
So a lot of the shelters and the food banks run on the labor of people who volunteer. A lot of the volunteers are older. Some of these cities are locked down, so the volunteers can't get there. And in some cases, if they could get there, they're older and they don't want to leave their homes because they're concerned about contracting this disease and what it might do to them. So it's really created a lot of short staffing. I spoke to a shelter in Seattle that they have about 800 beds in there, and they rely on about 200 to 300 volunteers every day to come in and help run the place. None of those volunteers are in. And the workload is actually increased because not only is the shelter full, but they're wiping down all of the surfaces to make sure it's disinfected. They're taking the temperatures of everybody who walks in to make sure that they don't have the virus. So, the work is up and the number of workers are down. So they're really quite strained.
And Doug, you also spoke to social services people in Los Angeles. What is the situation like there?
So we spoke to folks who are running the food bank in Los Angeles, and what's happening there is there's been a really significant spike in demand for food. It's gone up about 20 or 25% in just a few weeks. So it's been very sharp. Another of the issues that they're facing there is that there's about 28,000 seniors who come to pick up food at the food bank. But again, the seniors don't want to leave their homes. They're vulnerable to this disease, to this virus. So they're trying to figure out how to get the food to them. Right now, the seniors are sort of facing a Hobson's choice of staying safe inside their homes, but not having enough food to eat while they're in there.
President Trump just signed a $2 trillion economic stimulus package designed to blunt the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. How will this go as far as alleviating the strains on social services in these cities?
I think it's going to push back. It's going to push a lot of people back from the edge. If you're getting a check for $1,200 or $1,500 immediately, it's going to alleviate some immediate concerns. A lot of the folks who have been hit by this have just been knocked out of their job and they don't have much savings. So they're worried about not only making next month's rent, but buying groceries and paying utilities, paying insurance. So I think that there's going to be a lot of people where this is going to make a really significant difference.
Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thanks very much.
We've been taking your questions about the coronavirus pandemic and getting our reporters and experts to answer them here on the podcast. Our question today comes from Matt Niblock in Sacramento, California.
Online learning has become a stopgap. Can we expect online learning to grow in the educational economic sector or to be used more even beyond the time in which we are social distancing?
For an answer, we turn to our national education reporter, Tonnell Hobbs.
There's a rush of school districts trying to acquire laptops and hotspots to continue educating students online. As they will now have these items on hand and some experience using them, it's quite possible we'll see some more online learning taking place once the pandemic is over.
If you have a question about the pandemic, leave us a voicemail at 315-992-8298. We'll have our reporters and experts get you answers. And that is What's News for this morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and we will keep covering the pandemic and other stories on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for listening.